Hey everybody, I just wanted to drop a quick note at the top of the episode to apologize once again for my terrible audio. Hopefully this will never be a problem again because I just got a sparkly new microphone, so my voice will also be sparkly for you from now on. But this time it is not, and alas, I apologize. I did my best, and that's all you get from me. So, enjoy the episode. Welcome to The Ugly Podcast. I'm your host, Lauren Alexander, she, they, and this is the place where creatives are encouraged to make messy, ugly art and let go of perfectionism. I started this podcast with my creative partner, Emerson, and we've since grown into our businesses, and this podcast is now evolving into a space where I interview other creatives to discuss our creative processes and how we navigate the mental minefield of creativity. This podcast serves as a reminder that you and your art get to be whatever the hell you want to be, ugly and all. All right, welcome to the Ugly Podcast. And I have a guest today, and this is very exciting because this is the first time I'm doing this with somebody that I don't know. So I'm excited to introduce my guest, who is an intuitive abstract artist based in the Midwest. Art has always been her way of composting pain so that something new can thrive from it. Experiences and all their diversity of intensity and meaning are what she most portrays with paint. And she started creating abstract work in 2018 after a traumatic event, and her passion is to help others heal using art. She creates art in her spare time and loves being able to give back to her community through donated works and classes. Welcome. Do you want to say your name and your pronouns, if you would?
Yeah, so my name is Medora Fry. My pronouns are she, her. And yeah, I am from North Dakota.
Welcome. And I met you through my, this is the first time I'm meeting you, but I heard about you through my sister-in-law, Mary, who I have also interviewed for this podcast. And I was really excited when she told me about you, especially just like the concept of using creativity to create a healing experience when we have chronic pain. One thing that I learned with doing my whole ugly art journey, I've heard multiple people say that ugly art introduces like a healing element. And I'm just so interested to hear your perspective and what you do.
Yeah, 100%. I think that's one of the things I've found in like you said, why I started creating art was for the purpose of healing. And yeah, I guess what I have found is like the less pressure you put on yourself when you're creating it, like, yes, what you make may be super ugly. It might be horrible. You may never want to show it to anybody. But it's really like the process of doing it, I think, is oftentimes I found like way more important than the outcome, at least as far as healing, whatever. If you're trying to make money, maybe not so much, or, you know, like really like sell your stuff, I don't know. But for me, that's one thing that's been helpful is really just like, I guess you would say, like the cathartic process of it. And for me, I guess I'm kind of like a type A type person, or very like can be really perfectionistic. And so allowing myself to just like throw paint on a canvas and not really care about what it looks like, that was the thing for me that was like really instrumental in healing from like a, I guess it's like particularly like traumatic experience. Yeah, it can be very, very rewarding in like a non-monetary, you know, just for your own like benefit.
Yeah. Which I think is really hard for some people because like of the society we live in, you know, like mm-hmm. everything has to have a purpose. If you have a hobby, people are like, oh, are you really good at that hobby? Or like, do you make money off of it? Cause it seems like it's just kind of the mindset of how we think of like what we do with our free time. So, which is very unfortunate, but I hope that's changing. And I hope this conversation can help people let go of that a little bit and be in the process of creating rather than focused on like the outcome of it. So you said you started abstract art in 2018. Had you been really drawn to creative things before that, or was that really the event that kicked it off?
Yeah. So before that, it was always like, even as a kid, I was always making something. Once again, probably not the best, you know, best looking things always. But yeah, I was always like drawing, and I would get into like, I don't know, I was trying to like do sewing for a while and different, like, I don't know, I was just always doing something strange, or, you know, like something with my hands, especially. And as I got older and like I got into high school, I got a lot more interested in like photography. And so for a while that was, I was definitely into that, not photographing people, like photographing like flowers and plants and landscapes and that sort of thing. For some reason I was like really attracted to that, I guess. And it was awesome. I would just go on like little like nature walks, and I would go out and go on a walk and like just take photos of the nature around me. And that I thought, like, the process of like the walking and taking photographs was really like meaningful and kind of like calmed me down a little bit in that way as like a high school or probably even middle school. And after I got to college, I have like an art minor, I guess. I was like only like two classes away from like double majoring, but I did photography there, like, and then ceramics as well. And those are kind of the two things that I focused more on. So yeah, the way I came into painting was a little weird because I didn't, other than just for fun, I didn't really have like, I've never taken a painting class as a student or anything. So like, I've always been creative, but that switch didn't really happen until 2018. So what had happened was in 2018, my then boyfriend, now he's my husband, he actually had like two Widowmaker heart attacks in the same day. And I was, oh, wow, there and did like CPR on him, and like called 911 and everything. And so that was like terrifying, but also he, like, we were initially told that he was going to die and like to go say goodbye to him in the ER, which was like another level of like trauma.
Wow.
And then he was in a coma for 12 or 13 days, I think it was, yeah, 13 days. Finally woke up from that, but then it was a very long process of healing and like relearning how to do pretty much everything. So yeah, we were at the hospital in Bismarck for a month, and then he was flown out to Minneapolis because he wasn't doing the best after a month, and so he spent a month out there, and I was there and everything as well. So, and it pretty much took like a whole, I guess, calendar year, because it was June 2018. It was pretty much until like June of the next year that he was able to really feel more normal. Of course, it's like a new normal, but like, right, to have energy, be able to like walk without a walker, a wheelchair, and so yeah, it was quite the process and everything. But kind of what had happened was, it was August that we came back from Minneapolis of that year. And when we came back, I tried to go back to working full time. Right. I mean, I did. It was very hard. Would not suggest
such a good
take for somebody else too. And luckily, like, his mom was helping as well, but she was also working full time. Yeah, it was just like whole crazy show, if I can swear, sorry. So it was definitely like just intense and strange. So when we came back, there was a lot going on. Like, I was trying to work. At that point, my husband, his name is Sam, he was still like in a wheelchair, could maybe walk a couple of feet on his own, like very like just really like weak, obviously. Like, he had lost like, I don't know, 30 or 40 pounds or something, like skin and bones, just, yeah. And like, his medications were causing side effects. So there was just a lot going on. And then I had definite like PTSD from the, like, the event of it happening and being there. So like, sleep was not happening, right? It was very up and down, like not the best. And so I, in the past, when I had gone through difficult things, like being diagnosed with CF at a late age, that sort of thing, it, like, art was always my thing just throughout life to kind of like help me through things. And Sam and I had been painting together a little bit before that event had happened. And so I was like, oh, maybe I can try painting. But before, I was like painting like animals and different things like that, that were very like, you know, this is a frog, this is what a frog looks like, sort of thing. Kind of realistic, but not really, I guess. But I tried doing that one day because I was like, okay, I feel completely insane. Like, I need to do something. Like, what is happening? And I could not, like, I was like shaking. I could not even like make a straight line. I don't know what was happening, but it was not good. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to like literally just like throw paint at this canvas. Like, I don't even know if I used a brush. I just really went at that thing because I had done like a couple abstract pieces in the past, but I don't know, for some reason before I wasn't ever really like as into it. And yeah, I don't know exactly what happened, but it was very, very meaningful. The actual piece looked horrible. I mean, I don't think I have it. I'm pretty sure it just ended up brown. Like, it, even though it was not good at all. Very, very ugly. Like the epitome of ugliness on canvas. But the process of doing it was so helpful. It was kind of helpful to sleep, or like when I wasn't sleeping, because a lot of the painting, especially like the first year or so that I would paint, I primarily painted at like 3 a.m. Like, nothing, sometimes I painted during the day, but a lot of the extra like creativity was happening when I could not sleep, or I had like woken up with like a night terror sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I would go down in our basement, scary basement at the time, like definitely haunted. Anyway, I would go down there and paint from like 3 a.m. to 6 a.m. or something. And being able to like work through that, I guess, especially at night, was super helpful. Even though I was, I guess, alone in the basement, I didn't feel quite as alone. Like, I was able to get some of that emotion out. And yeah, it was just really helpful. And I think one of the things too was like the, I guess you would say, like physicality of some of that and like the painting. Like, if you're mad, you really can just like splat.
Yeah, you can go at it,
like get into it, that sort of thing. And you know, whatever you're feeling. So I think that was also like a good way for me to get some of that out and not like be totally nuts, I guess is the way.
Yeah. Cause
like, yeah, I was really struggling for a while, and there was many different things that helped to, I mean, I still would consider myself to have PTSD, and to like, I'm still working through a lot of that, and I probably always will, to be honest with you. But yeah. On a day to day, I feel like a lot more balanced generally now, which is, I'm thankful for, but I think painting definitely was a large part of that, especially at first when everything was super chaotic.
Yeah, absolutely. Did you notice that there was like, I know for me, when I'm having a hard time, especially like mentally, like I have anxiety and depression. And so like, I'll know like doing art's going to help me feel better. It's going to help me process these feelings. But then there's that mental hurdle of like, but I like can't bring myself to do it. Did you experience any of that? Or was it like, it's 3 a.m. I can't sleep. I'm going into the murder basement and I'm going to get my struggles out. Like, I don't care.
It was kind of both. So there were certain, and especially with like, because of like terrifying basement, honestly, I did not always want to go down and paint. Sometimes I would paint myself. And then other times I was like, oh, I'm not going to go get murdered by ghosts in this basement. So I would just have like a paper and pencil upstairs, and I would even just do like, once again, not actual doodles of any kind, but like, oh, I'm gonna like draw a flower. No, was not that. It was like literally just like scribbles, maybe,
yeah,
like a pattern or something, but like literally just like, yeah, nothing that. And I think that was, for me, it was just so freeing, because a lot of the time, I think sometimes it is external pressure, right? It's like, oh, I'm supposed to be taking care of this person, so they need me, but then I'm also supposed to be working full time and they need me, and I want to do all these things for myself and for my own health, but I can't do them or whatever. But also sometimes, even though I don't need to, I'm like, my brain is like, oh, but you should be doing this, or you know, like putting pressure on ourselves, essentially.
Yeah,
I definitely do that sometimes, and it's something I kind of constantly have to work on. But I think at that time too, that was a lot of it, of I had just been through this huge life-changing thing, but yet my mind was like, oh, well, you know, it's 3 a.m. you're not sleeping. You're such a horrible person for not sleeping at 3 a.m. or like, you need to do this or this in your life or whatever. And like, I don't know, those sort of feelings. And I think one thing that abstract stuff particularly helped with was not putting pressure on myself to have things look a certain way. Mm-hmm. It could really, and sometimes in like, even now, so now like I do sell paintings, but the majority of like, I don't do commissions anymore. Like that's one thing that I've decided, like I really cannot do them. Or if I do, like the person kind of has to be okay with like what I do. Like maybe they can, you know, like certain colors I could use or something, but like I can't make things look a certain way, or like I can't replicate paintings. I'm not, especially if I'm using like water and acrylic, which I often do, at least for like the base and whatnot. Like I can try to manipulate it sometimes, but most of the time it's just going to dry how it dries. I can't always, you know, like I can't have control over it. And I think that's something that has really helped me, because until that event happened, or maybe even like before then when I was diagnosed with CF, but like, I don't know, like we think that we can control our lives and we can go like this, and then something happens to you and you're like, oh, I can't control everything that happens to me here in my life. You know? It's like, okay, like how do I process this? And how, you know, like I feel like anything bad could happen to me at any second. Like this is terrifying. But then kind of reminding yourself, oh, okay, well, if that's true, which is unfortunately, something good can also randomly happen to you at any time. And like, it's okay to not have control over every single aspect of your life, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, and I love that, how that's mirrored with how your art turns out too. Like we have no control over our lives or our pain, or our mental health or what happens to our loved ones. And in the same way with your paintings, like you have no idea how they're going to turn out. And there might be parts of it that aren't great or like that don't really mesh well. But then there's other parts that you're like, these colors are so beautiful together. I didn't mean to do that. It was just like this random thing that ended up on this canvas. And that's just like such a beautiful representation of how life is.
100%. Yeah. Most of the paintings that I really like, I did not intend for some of those elements to happen, I guess is like the best way. They're essentially like happy accidents, to quote Mr. Bob Ross. Because I think it's both. Like I think sometimes skill is maybe involved, or you can definitely learn, you know, I'm like, okay, the first one I made, if I put every rainbow color on there and I do it in a certain way, like it's probably gonna turn out brown, which isn't always bad, but if you're not wanting the brown, you know, don't mix those colors together, sort of thing. Like you definitely learn, you have some techniques you can use definitely to like improve if you want to, sort of thing. But I don't think it's, especially if you're doing it for fun or purely, you know, cathartic sort of purposes, it's not, that sort of skill isn't needed. And I think it's just important to really, like, I don't know, even me as somebody that does sometimes, or, you know, I guess I do sometimes sell things, like I prefer to just let things happen naturally, I guess. Mm-hmm. It just, 98% of the time they work out better if I kind of let things go how they want. And that's a part of it too, is like adapting, right? So if something looks horrible, I can 100% cover it up. Great. Okay. Whereas before I was like, I maybe would have been like, oh, this whole painting is ruined and I must throw it away, you know, or I have to cover the whole thing. It's like, okay, I, if it is really bad, I can cover it and I can just start again. Like you don't have to be, I guess, as committed to it in a way, and you can kind of let it do its own thing. If that makes
sense. There's a lot less pressure.
Yeah.
Yeah. On you and your art. I love the idea of like, I've heard some people, and now I can't remember who I've heard this from, but just like talking about the pressure we put on our art, and it's like, your art didn't ask for that. Like your art just wants to be what it is, good, bad, ugly, beautiful. It doesn't care. It just wants to be there, and you're putting too much pressure on it and on yourself. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. That's 100%. I realize was it last year or 2019? My years are kind of, especially pandemic years.
Yeah, years don't make sense anymore.
It might have been 2020. Okay, I think it was 2020. But I had a gallery show at this amazing gallery in town, and I was really excited. And as I was painting some of the pieces, you know, a couple months beforehand, I started to get very self-critical, and I was like, oh, this, you know, oh, no, I can't put this in the gallery, or this or that, or whatever, and I was just, like, complete pressure on myself, and I was like, I really had to, like, stop myself and sit myself down and be like, you just need to paint, don't worry about it, if something's bad, put it in there, whatever, or, you know, like, not everybody is gonna love this piece. A lot of the times I have that too, where, like, I love a piece, and nobody ever buys it, or nobody is interested in it, or, I mean, thankfully, generally, I don't think I'm, like, popular enough online to where people are, like, posting, like, hateful things about my art, which is good, because that would probably just hurt me in some ways, but, you know, like, I'm not everything I make is gonna be, like, oh, you know, like, the heavens open up, and okay. You did it, like, you know, like, that's, so yeah, I think just like liking what you make too is like important. And one of the things too, I think that you and Mrs. Van or Mary, and I still call her Mrs. Van, which is so funny. And she's like, call me Mary. I'm like, I can't, I have to call her Mrs. Van. But one of the things that you guys, I think, talked about too is like, even if something is bad, like put it out there, like, or if you like it and maybe other people would consider it bad or whatever, you know, less quality or something, like the world can still see it, maybe somebody can still benefit from it. Like, I don't know, I have some, this is the other thing too, I have some people that are like so nice and genuine and really seem to like feel connected to my work, and that's so like invaluable to me and amazing. And then I have other people who have literally told me like, my kid could do that, and I'm like, yes, they could. Like, that's part of it. I'm like it's, you know, kind of slightly offensive in some ways, yes, I really have made
Jesus.
And I'm like, great, like, have a painting day with your kid and let them paint it. You don't need it. Like, you don't need to buy anything from me. Like, that's fine. You know, like,
right.
Your kid be creative then. Like, it's, people have just, so, you know, you can never please anybody. And as long as you like what you're making, or even if you don't like what you're making and you're just making it, you know, for fun or whatever, like, oh yeah, just do you, people, you know, you people do.
Yeah.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you, and like, show it, don't show it. But like, well, that's amazing to me, because like, especially because I've heard that so many times, like, I could do that. And I'm just like, then do that. Like, don't shit on other people just because they have their artwork out there and you're like, I could do that. Like, okay.
Like, yeah, you probably could. But like, right now you're not. So like, go do it if you want, you know, or like,
yeah.
If you don't want to, then you want the art in your house or whatever, and then pay somebody to do it, or, you know, but yeah.
I know, it's
super funny to me, because I don't know how, I'm like, I never know how to respond, but that's, I think, what I'm gonna start saying is like, have, you know, like, have your kid do it then, like,
yeah, it's a really hard thing to respond to, I guess. You it could just be like, well, like, have your kid do it and then they can sell it for $200. I don't know. I'm the one making $200 here.
Oh, so funny.
I wanted to talk about your classes that you teach.
Yeah.
Can you tell me more about those?
Yeah, so I started doing those really, like, I guess a couple months into painting. It kind of happened organically. There was, well, I have taught like art to kids before, which I can talk about in a second too with a different project. But the process of kind of what I do now with like painting specifically kind of happened organically. And it was like a local kind of like nonprofit or group in Bismarck here that they were having like workshop events, and they had kind of, you know, knew my story or what I had been through and knew that I was painting and kind of why I was painting. And so they asked if I wanted to lead one of these workshops and kind of, you know, they obviously asked me what I wanted to teach about, that sort of thing. And I was like, well, I think, you know, like healing and painting and that process. And so I appropriately titled them healing with painting or something to that effect, workshops. And I started doing just a couple of those. And the first one was actually to adults, that particular workshop, which is kind of interesting and cool, because a lot of the people were very afraid of painting and like painting something abstract. And some people came up to me and they were like, can I just paint like a palm tree or something, you know? And I was like, you can, like, I'm not gonna force you to do something that you're not comfortable with, but I was like, I encourage you, you know, to step out of your comfort zone a little bit and just try it. Like, even just try it once, and you can rip it up and throw it away, and then you can paint your palm tree or, you know, whatever, if you feel comfortable. And I think it was hopefully really, I mean, the feedback that I got from it was great, and people, you know, just felt like they were more free. Like what we do with those, when I do them with both kids and adults, I guess, is I kind of start out, like sometimes I share my story, sometimes I don't, kind of depending on like the audience, or if it's like really little kids, sometimes I don't quite, you know, go into anything. But I generally start maybe with something like that. And then we kind of maybe talk a little bit about emotions and how certain activities, like painting, for example, can be very physical and like a great way to get that out. Obviously, there are so many other ways, like exercise and even like, you know, talk therapy and many things that are helpful. But if a lot of the times, at least for me in my experience, like I go to therapy, but I also need to run. I need to do that. Like, I think a combination
yeah,
is really
both and. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it has been helpful for me personally. And so we kind of talk about that and then kind of how we can maybe paint through that. So what I've especially lately been doing is I kind of essentially kind of like a meditation or kind of putting ourselves in the present moment, maybe trying to really get in tune with like how we're feeling. And that's what I do personally in my practice too. And so that's where I got that from, is I kind of sit there for a second and I'm like, okay, how am I feeling? You know, is this going to influence my color choices? Like what's going on? And that at least, you know, helps me anyway to like center and kind of get in to the present moment. And then I just kind of start painting and picking up random colors sometimes, or utensils, because I not only use like paint brushes and that sort of thing, but I have like these little, I just call them scrapers, because it's actually I started using like the hotel like key card that looks like credit card things from like the hotel in Minneapolis, actually, from when Sam was in the hospital. And so I started using that, and so that was kind of like a cool way for me to like reclaim that thing. And
yeah, that's really cool,
like different things like that. So yeah, that's kind of generally what we do in the classes. And then they just paint, and sometimes we'll put on music or have snacks and things. But I don't know, I just I love to like seeing what other people create, and you know, how their mind works, and different things and different colors or color choices they use. Because that's another thing too, I'm like, that I just love, is I always am like, oh, I never would have thought of using those colors, I never would have thought of, you know, painting in that way, or using like, sometimes I don't know, like somebody used like the wooden part of their brush to like do a cool like marking that I don't, yeah, there's just so many just other people's creativity is really cool. And so getting to like witness that, and especially with kids, oh my gosh, kids, you know, they just have like so many ideas up there. And so
yeah,
a lot of the time they, not always, but sometimes I guess they seem to be quicker to jump in, and they just paint, you know, and they're just using their hands and they're getting in there, where adults are like really thinking about, you know, really thinking about it. And I'm like, you just go, like just start. And they're just sitting there and they're like, I don't know what color, and what if this color doesn't go with this color? And I'm like, that's not the point, just go. right now that's not the point. Like, so yeah, that's always kind of fun too, to like see the differences between like kids and adults, and kind of what they their hindrances or not, you know, to creativity. That's always fun.
Yeah, because the adults have the years of perfectionism and embarrassment and shame like embedded in there, and they're like, no, I can't let go.
Yeah, so true. So I'm like, gotta get to the kids early so they learn some of this before they turn into like pent up adults like I probably was for a while. Yeah,
right. I absolutely was. That actually sounds, your classes sound a lot like my ugly art hour that I have once a month. It's called Come As You Art, and we just do like a virtual thing where we
come to the, okay, please sign, however I can sign up, I would love that.
Awesome. Yeah, I'll send you the details. But yeah, like I do the same thing. Like I start with like a mindfulness, like get grounded, recognize like where you're at today, and then like we go and we just like make ugly stuff. And yeah, that's so, I love the parallels between your experience and my experience.
That's so cool. I love that. Oh, yeah, I want to do that. That'd be fun. And that's another thing, like I would love to do that, because also I would love to, obviously sometimes when you're teaching you can still get into it, but sometimes you're kind of separated, you know, and so I would love that experience too, of like having somebody else lead and I just get to participate, because that would be fun. I haven't, other than just my own painting practice, I haven't gotten to do that in a while, so that'd be cool.
Cool, yeah, that'll be fun. So this was a question I asked you before we signed up, but what do you wish more creatives understood?
Pretty sure what I said about this was that everybody is and can be creative. There's so many different realms of creativity. Like, you don't have to love painting or just paint. Like, it's even in your, personally, I think in like your thought process, problem solve and think mm-hmm. about things. There's so many different ways to be creative. I get this with adults in painting classes all the time. Like, I'm not a creative person, or I don't know. Even my dad or many people are like that, you know, like, I'm not creative at all. I'm like, okay, but you like have this whole cool gardening thing that you know, like, you plan this out and you like, or you put, I don't know. There's many different ways, right, to be creative, and it's okay to be bad at something. Like, that's even now, sometimes I will just put out onto the interwebs like things that are just for fun for me, that I'm like, you know, this might be considered bad, or maybe it's not the best quality, but I had a really fun time doing this. Like, I think just once again, being less judgmental about ourselves and our art and that sort of thing, and just learning that everybody is creative. You don't maybe have to love something, but sometimes it's important to try something. You know, that sort of thing. Like, I do not like peas. but I had like split pea soup recently and I loved it. Like, what the heck? You know, like, you just never know. like okay, I can't eat normal peas on their own, but if it's in soup, I'm like fine apparently. So like, I think it's kind of a stupid example, but you know, like, you just never know what you might like just trying different things. And even if you don't like something, then you learned like, okay, I'm not good at this, or you know, I don't like doing this, I don't enjoy it, but I tried it, like, here's what I learned about that experience. Like, I think those are kind of the things. And so just to be more open to things and not be afraid, you know, trying different things.
Yeah, I love that. I definitely had a really hard time calling myself creative until like 2 years ago. And then I started like being like, oh, just because I'm not necessarily good at these things doesn't mean I can't do them and love them and even love what I make. And then sometimes make good things, but most of the time not. Like, but it doesn't mm-hmm. like, none of my ability, my talent has anything to do with the fact that I am creative. Like, that's just already in my DNA. It's in all of our DNAs. Like, human beings are, like, we evolved to be creative problem solvers. That's why we still exist.
Totally. Yes.
Did you ever have a hard time calling yourself a creative, or were you just like...
Yes. Lots of imposter syndrome all the time. pretty constant with that. But I think like even in high school, all of the like creative things I did on my own were pretty much just like at my house and in my, you know, just crafts and being crafty, that sort of thing. And that wasn't like artsy or creative. For some reason in my mind, they were kind of separate. I don't know why. I don't know. It's a Midwest thing. I have no idea.
I think that's pretty common. Cause like, I think I viewed them as different too for a while, but like now obviously I see them as like all part of it. But anyway, yeah. Continue.
Yeah, so I was definitely into like crafts and many things, but because I was not really always the best with like drawing maybe and stuff like that, I didn't consider myself to be creative in that way. And it probably wasn't really until I was in that creative writing class with Mrs. Van that I was maybe starting to feel more comfortable kind of calling myself creative. And I kind of learned more about like, oh, okay, like putting together this event and coming up with ideas for this event. And then obviously like the actual creative writing pieces of the class and everything. And, you know, that was really like, I don't know, I felt more empowered, I guess. And especially like with event planning and then planning the Lit Mag, everything like that, that was, yeah, I just got more comfortable with it, even like kind of like calling myself a writer, which I still don't really consider myself, but I love writing, and it is something that I'm passionate about. And I even recently got the chance to write like a blog post for the CF Foundation. And so just things like that, like, I don't know, once again, would I consider myself like a full like writer? Maybe not, but I do like writing, and sometimes I get the opportunity to share things I write, that sort of thing. And so I think just not limiting ourselves to like, oh, I do this as a profession, so I can't like be creative in my spare time, or I can't like, I don't know, trying to get those like hindrances out of the way, I guess. But yeah, when I was in Mrs. Van's class too, I think it was cool to like be creative in a like a collaborative way, because I hadn't really experienced that too much before, to my memory anyway. So I think that was kind of another thing, like that's one thing I've tried to do now with my art practice as well, is like my husband is super creative and a better painter than me, which he would not and draw, like draw, oh my gosh, yeah, he's just amazing. But like sometimes we'll do paintings together, or he'll like draw something and I'll paint on it. And I've gotten to work with other, like somebody like made earrings and I painted them, or making like ceramics and I like painted them, or I did something, you know, like,
oh, cool.
I think that's been kind of a fun, like collaborative thing to work on with other people. So that's something I've kind of tried to carry over. So yeah, that's been fun.
Nice. I love that. Yeah. When I discovered that I could be creative with other people, and that was like a fun way to find community that way, I mean, that just like took off. I was like, oh, then, I mean, yes, I love this. I'm absolutely creative, and so are you. My husband also do like the, we haven't done it recently, but like for a little while we were doing like little stories that we'd like trade off. So like I'd write a few sentences and then he'd write a few sentences, and they would just, it would all go off the rails and like get really weird, but that was what made it so much fun.
Well, that's so fun. That's a great idea.
Because you just said that like that was your thing that you wish more creatives understood. That's what I wish more writers understood, is that you're a writer if you enjoy writing and you write, and you write. So yes. So you're a writer. Congratulations.
No, see, that's another, I'm like, oh, I don't consider myself a writer, but I enjoy writing and I write for the, yeah. See, I'm like on my own. I gotta, yeah. I don't learn things in my own brain sometimes. And yeah, you know,
actually, we all do it. Yeah.
Totally. One of the things I haven't actually talked about, but I've kind of mentioned a couple times, is the project that Mrs. Van actually helped me with in school. And I feel like I should maybe talk about this too, because it's like another kind of aspect of creativity that might some people may think may hinder them, but it probably does not. And that is healing with and being creative with like illness and disease and that sort of thing. My story with that is when I was 18, I was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis, which is also called CF is a moniker. And it's a genetic disease that often affects like the lungs, the pancreas, digestive system. It's in your DNA, so it's everywhere. It affects lots of things. It was very, very weird that I was diagnosed so late. It just, long story short, it just got missed. I was quite sick in my senior year of high school, which is also when when I was in the writing class with Mrs. Van and everything. And when I was then diagnosed, it was like a huge shift for me. So not only like, oh, being in the hospital a lot and having tests and procedures and different things, and then obviously not feeling well, but then also feeling like, I don't know how to, I guess the best way I can describe it is like sadness. Sadness about the, I guess like sadness projected onto my childhood in a way, like because I was like, oh, this thing was going on, I didn't know, and like I had all these experiences that now make 100% sense that at the time were really hard and we had no idea what was going on, that sort of thing. And so for some, I don't know, like loss of childhood or something, maybe
too. Oh, yeah, like grief over your childhood. Yeah.
Yeah, yes, grief. There it was like sadness. Like, and then sadness. Thank you. But yeah, so I think that was at the time a struggle. And when I went to college, I went to college at Concordia in Moorhead, Minnesota. And I was lucky enough to receive a scholarship that it was called the Phillips Scholarship Program. And it was through like the Minnesota Private College Fund. But essentially what they had people do, and you had to apply and everything, and you had to come up with a project that would benefit a group of people somewhere in Minnesota, preferably you know, either like diverse populations, underserved, that sort of thing. And so what I came up with based on all these fashions that I just talked about, the whole podcast here was, using creativity and art and photography specifically at that time to, help people or kids in a hospital setting that had maybe recently gotten a diagnosis, been through something traumatic, maybe had like a cancer diagnosis, things like that. And so I was able to do that in Duluth, Minnesota. And Mrs. Van was super instrumental in getting that. It was a really like competitive process. And I don't think I would have gotten it without her help. Obviously, like the idea is important and whatnot, but how you present it and plan and everything is important as well. And yeah, it was an awesome experience. It was about a 2-week long project that I did out there, and it was at a hospital in Duluth. And so I got to, we did a couple of things. One of them was Mrs. Van was nice enough to have, I was able to like rent some of the cameras essentially from the high school and bring them out to Duluth and let the kids, they would essentially do what I used to do growing up, which was like go on these like photo walks, right? So we would have our little cameras and we'd have all our stuff and I'd grab all the kids and we would walk around the hospital and like take photos of maybe like the architecture, or like obviously because of like HIPAA, you can't really take photos of people, but maybe like photos right. of their feet, that sort of thing. And then luckily this hospital had a beautiful like little outside garden. And so we got to like go out there and take photos outside and get the kids outside a little bit, which is fun, and get a little bit of movement in, which is good as well. And then we were able to take all the photos and put them in like a photo book for all the kids to have. And that was also another great aspect that Mrs. Van was able to help me with, but it was really great. And part of it too was then I would also go like bedside to the kids that maybe had different mobility issues or just, you know, if they're hooked up to IVs or different, you know, different abilities, was able to maybe just paint or do crafts and whatnot with them and maybe just chat, that sort of thing. And sometimes they were really little and sometimes they were like 17 or 18 year olds. And that was really meaningful as well. And yeah, it was just a really cool experience. And they then got to like have these little books that they could, you know, show their family and friends like, oh, I took this photo and this is what we did. And
yeah,
you know, talking about the difficulties of, you know, maybe what they're going through, but how they can kind of express themselves. And one of the kids had a cool idea to like his family. So on the North Shore in Minnesota, where Duluth is, it's I think like Superior there, and it like the waves in the winter. I don't know what, I think it has a name. I don't know what they're called. I'm so sorry, everybody in Duluth. But the waves like come up, and because the insanely cold temperature that it gets up here in North Dakota, Minnesota, they like freeze right away, like in these like amazing like ice shaped waves, or like these different, it's just Google some, yeah, you have to like Google photos of them because they're so spectacular. But he always liked to photograph those. And he was like, because he was like a 17-year-old, he was a little bit older, and he had a pretty terminal cancer diagnosis. But he's like, I have all of these on my camera, on my computer, but I've never printed them out. Mm-hmm. Like, and we were like, oh my gosh, like, you know, you should print them out, and you can have a book that you can like take with you when you go to treatment to like look at these awesome photos that you take. You can even show nurses and like, you know, start a conversation that way, and or you could print them out and like put them in your house, you know, all over your house or in your bedroom. Different things, or you could even like try to like paint or draw one, you know, like when you're at treatment and you're literally just sitting there and you can't, it's, you know, if you're getting chemo or IVs, it's very difficult to do a whole lot of movement. So, but if you're, you know, sitting there drawing, it might kind of take your mind off stuff. So yeah, they were all just so like sweet and creative and had awesome ideas, and it's every day. I wish, that's kind of, and it's like my dream job, kind of. I would love something like that. It's just, unfortunately, at least in North Dakota here, it seems to not really exist, or not quite in that capacity, kind of as like art therapy or that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Or it's, at least in the hospitals currently, it just doesn't seem to be something that they're interested in, which is super unfortunate. But maybe one day.
Well, maybe we'll have to just send this podcast episode to all of their inboxes and be like, hey, you need this.
Yes. Please.
That is so sweet, though. I love that project you did. And did you find it was really, like, it was more a way of, like, how do I want to say this? So I think a lot of times we, like, want to distract from our pain or our situation. And so we try to numb ourselves. We try to distract from, like, with TV or whatever. But do you find that, like, that creativity and that art piece, like, helps bring you into the present moment with yourself? Like, do you think there's some kind of connection there?
Yeah, I think it can be both. I think it maybe just depends on, like, how you're feeling, that sort of thing. I guess personally, sometimes I kind of use it interchangeably, or I kind of use that as both. Like, if I'm really struggling, and if I'm still, like, really in the trauma deeply. I was also just reading a book about this, which, like, kind of reinforced this a little bit. And I was like, this is why this is why this is fine. Or this is why I do this. Maybe it was, like, a book on traumas. There's, like, the one with that Oprah did. And then there's the Body Keeps a Score. Please, both of them, even if you don't think that you have trauma, please read those books, because you may. Anyway, but they talk about this, where if you are really struggling, we really can't, like, fully our brain is not capable really of, like, processing or getting to some of those, like, higher levels of thought. And sometimes, like, maybe numbing is, like, or maybe we briefly talk about the struggle bus, but we don't need to process the whole struggle bus in that moment, because our brain, like, cannot do it. Mm-hmm. And so I think both can honestly be helpful, both, like, actually trying to use creativity to, like, process what you're going through. And then also sometimes, like, as, like, a, what I say is, like, a positive way to numb, I guess, would be a thing. So rather than maybe, you know, self-harm or destruction or super negative thoughts, intrusive, you know, that sort of thing. It can, because I had a lot of that after I was diagnosed with CF, because I was like, oh, I'm unlovable now. Like, nobody's going to want me. I'm gross, whatever, like, I have all these issues, like, with my body. I was having a lot of just, yeah, really, like, negative things and so self-harm thoughts and that sort of thing. And I think what really helped me was finding those things, like creativity and going on the photo walks and different things to just at least positively positively kind of cope with some of that. And sometimes that's, in my opinion, I don't know if this is 100% accurate, so don't take my full word for it, but at least in my personal experience and kind of what I've been reading is, like, no, I think that's can be okay, you know, rather than turning to those other things to find something. And, like, it doesn't have to be painting specifically, but just finding something that's positive, I guess, is maybe the best word. Yeah, just to keep yourself kind of, yeah,
like, focusing on the beauty of things as they are instead of ruminating on those really hard things. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amazing. Well, thanks. I hope you're able to do that sometime. That would be an amazing job.
Yes, yeah. It would be quite lovely. But even then, like, even now, I'm definitely, like, fulfilled when I'm able to do, like, even some of those painting classes and whatnot. Those are so fun. So, yeah, hopefully I can just kind of start to do more of that stuff, and might be a little safer for me as well now with the pandemic and everything. I'm still quite isolated and whatnot, just because I have CF and then my husband has, like, heart disease, heart failure sort of things. We have been super careful, but
yeah,
maybe we can slowly start getting back out into the world and doing more in-person classes. But that's another thing. I can totally do online. Like, yeah. I just need to, you know, sometimes I have the thoughts and I'm like, you just got to do it. Like, ugh, it's okay to do online class or whatever. Like, yeah, get our brains to get stuff into motion.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Oh, awesome. Well, as a closing here on the Ugly Podcast, we like to ask, well, I like to ask since I'm by myself these days, what is something ugly you made recently?
Pretty much everything. Maybe not everything, but okay, I will say this is one thing that was in my mind quite hilarious. So my husband has been getting into like drawing and doing portraits and whatnot. And one day he asked if I would want to like draw with him. We weren't working on the same like piece, but we were, you know, like sitting next to each other drawing. And we ended up going on YouTube and like finding this specific like tiny, very like tiny drawing class sort of thing. And we were painting this like tree, right? And it was supposed to kind of look like a bonsai tree. I told him, I said, you know that I struggle with this. This is going to be really hard for me. Like, you know, okay, so we get done. He has this beautiful tree, right? Painting is there, like he has the little leaves, whatever. And I told him, I was like, I'm not showing you mine. He's like, you have, like, it's fine. I was like, okay, but you know, like this tree. And it was like, I think I did better things in like first grade. And I'm not like, it was horrible. Like, no, it was horrible, right? Photo, and I sent of both of them side by side, and I sent it to my mother-in-law, and bless her heart, but she was like, oh, like, did Medora do that? Because, like, for some reason, she thinks, because I can paint, I can draw, and it was like, no. I was like, that's not mine. Like, it was horrid. Like, you know, must burn immediately. Like, okay, it literally looked like a cloud, like one big cloud with like a menorah or something, like rather than like the cool, like pretty, like
right.
It was just like, it was like structured and then like a cloud shape. It wasn't like, oh, these individual like tree branches that, yeah, oh, I can't even explain it. It was still, for some reason, I still have it. And I think I wrote like my masterpiece or something. We like hung it on the fridge for a while because every time we walked by it, we just laughed.
Yeah,
like, that's what it was. So. Yeah, a bit of like comic relief in my ugly tree drawing. But that's, I was like, this is why I do abstract painting, and I do not do the, he can do like these amazing realistic portraits. And I'm like, I don't know how he does it in his brain. Cause I'm like, I could not. Not only do I have the talent to make it good, but then even if so, I would like never finish it because I would be like, so like, oh, this doesn't look right. And this is, yeah. So the ugly bonsai tree / cloud on top of a weird, like very structured menorah type thing. That was my super ugly piece recently.
Amazing. I love it.
I was, I guess, except for like my husband and my stepmom. So now the world shall know that.
I love it. Well, that's my favorite thing about ugly stuff is more often than not, it's just hilarious. Like, it just makes you laugh. Like, why not make something that makes you laugh? It's hilarious. It's amazing.
Completely. Yeah.
I had kind of a two for one this week. I did, because I was making my ugly art with some watercolors, but then I also tried to make like a stop motion video, like to do like a reel on Instagram with it. But it's not good at all. And so it's just like these, it's my like watercolor painting, like little square things. And then they're just like creeping along like a little centipede. And then I ended up like drawing painting the centipede thing with the paints and then giving it very long, crazy legs or just like all varying shades of like wild colors. It's great.
That's awesome. Yay for ugly art.
Yay. Where can people find you and how can they support your work?
Okay, so you can go to my website, which is www.medorafry.com, or just on Instagram, that's medorafry.art, and it's Fry, like F-R-E-I, which is super German. I'm also named after a town in North Dakota called Medora, so it's like, oh. Midwest, pretty much about as Midwestern as you can get. But yeah, those are the two things I have right now. I do sell work, but even just like, as everybody knows, like supporting people for free online sometimes with likes, and if you like my art, following along, that sort of thing, that's helpful too. So, yeah. Or if you hate it and you have, you know, feedback or comments, that's fine. You know, and respectfully leave those as well.
You're too nice. I just delete stuff. People don't like me. I'm like, no.
It's probably the healthy, yeah. Healthy.
I don't need this negative energy in my life.
Oh, I'm blocking you. Like, go away. There's a preferably nice comments or constructive criticism only, please. No hate messages or hate comments.
We don't need those. But yeah, your art is beautiful. I have loved looking through your page so far. So yeah, I highly recommend that everybody go check out Medora's stuff.
Thanks so much for having me on, too. It's nice to meet you and get to chat with you.
Yeah, this was really great. I'm glad that Mary introduced us, Mrs. Van.
Mary party. Yes.
All right. And then we close it off by saying keep it ugly. So keep it ugly, everybody.
The Ugly Podcast is created by Lauren Alexander of Scribe and Sunshine Editing Services. It is produced and kind of edited by me and written and directed by absolutely no one. If you like the podcast, be sure to rate and leave a review on your preferred platform and share with the creative people in your life. As always, keep it ugly.